recorded two sermons back in February, one of which is being broadcast nationally right now, and I figured if it was good enough for that, it's probably okay for you, because I know what you expect. So hear the reading of Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For God's anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you have established me as a strong mountain. Then you hid your face, and I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. The word of the Lord. Her living room was filled with shadows. The shades were pulled, the curtains were drawn, there was no light entering the room, even though the sun was shining outdoors. There's a solitary lamp on the table with the dim glow of a 40-watt bulb. It's the only light in a room filled with darkness. She looks up and says, "When will I feel better?" Can you imagine who she is? I haven't told you anything else about her. Is she bearing a long illness, perhaps recovering from surgery? Maybe that's why there's little light in the room. Is she a widow surrounded by empty tissue boxes, still in the numbness of grief? Maybe it is 5 months after the funeral. Everyone else has gone back to their normal lives and routines, and life for her will never be normal again. Or she's someone who carries a burden that nobody ever sees. The son who moved away at 17 is now in jail. The daughter has fallen again after 30 days in rehab. Her best friend betrayed her in broad daylight, or some embarrassment actually puts her on the headlines. It's hard for her to leave the shadows, and she wants to know, when will I feel better? Today, the sermon is for her because this psalm is for her. Psalm 30 is filled with joy, but as we get into it, we learn this is hard-earned joy. The ancient poem knows about the reality of trouble, but it doesn't quite settle on what sort of trouble it is. The poet mentions unnamed enemies. We don't know who they are. There's a cry for help, a declaration of physical healing, which led the editor of our English Bible to add the line, "Recovery from a grave illness." The poet says, "I was on the verge of death." And then shares some worry about falling into the pit, a euphemism for Sheol, the resting place for the dead. There's also mention of sackcloth, the ancient garb of those who are contending with humiliation or grief. So what's going on here? The same thing that happens in a lot of the Psalms. The specific details have been sanded away. We have a poem that rings true for anybody who knows how it feels to be in trouble. Woven between each line is the hope that someday life will become better. Now, nobody needs to tell any of us what it's like to fall into the pit. the psalmist knows, so do the rest of us. The poem is a good reminder for all of us that on any given Sunday, we do not know the full story of those who are sitting around us. They might have climbed out of wreckage to get to worship today, and thank God they are with us. And the promise of the psalm is that life can be restored, that souls can be lifted up, that healing is possible, and enemies will not finally rejoice. It will take a while for anyone to complete that emotional journey, but we do make it through. And this is the work of God. It is God who heals, God who lifts. Mourning with a U will lead to mourning, the dawn of a new day. Now, when trouble draws close, it's easy to wonder if that's true. For the poet who composes this psalm, it feels like God is angry. He wonders, am I being punished? Did I do something wrong? Is this the kind of God we have, a God who inflicts pain on us? Questions are real, the emotions are raw, and we have our questions too. Do we belong to God, yes or no? And where is God anyway? Sometimes the life of faith feels like a game of holy hide-and-seek. And God is nowhere in sight. But this is where the poet of Psalm 30 gives us a lesson in good Jewish prayer. He says, you know, God, you won't get any benefit if I go down to the pit. In fact, if I go back to the dust, that dust is not going to praise you. The dust won't be able to tell of your reliability. Do you hear what he's doing? He's lifting a line from old Father Abraham. Lord, are you going to wipe out a sinful city if I can find 50 good people there? Or how about 40? Well, maybe 30, 10, 5? Come on, Lord, you can't wipe out a few good people if you find them. Now that is good, daring Jewish prayer. It's like that Jewish prayer from Moses. God sees the Israelites. They've made a golden calf to worship. And God is so angry, there is fire snorting out of the divine nostrils. God threatens to just wipe them out until Moses says, now wait a second, Lord. You are the Lord who brought your own people out of slavery in Egypt. And if you wipe them out, what are the Egyptians going to say? They'll say, they sent their God to steal our labor force, only to wipe them out in the mountains. Now, Lord, you can't do that. You have a reputation to maintain. I think this is a pretty good way to pray. We could say, God, you went to all that trouble to get me baptized and then tell everybody I belong to you. Do you think it's really a good idea to heap all this trouble on me and leave me in despair? Come on, Lord, come and heal me. Can you imagine praying like that? That's how this psalm teaches us to pray. There's no reason to remain stuck in the shadows when we have a God who has separated the light from the darkness. There is no need to be insulated or isolated when God comes to us in Jesus Christ. As for those of us who've been carried through the desert in grace, we should tell the stories of how we actually have come through to the other side. As somebody said about a support group that once helped him, it has been a safe place to talk honestly about my struggles and hear how others have gotten through it and pursue the grace and courage to start over again. And if the church is not going to be like that, you have to wonder what the big deal is about it. The second beatitude of Jesus goes like this. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That sounds like his commentary on Psalm 30, a psalm he certainly knew. He doesn't say how it's going to happen, nor does he say how long it's going to take, but the promise lingers and it is real. The psalmist says, I cried out to you for help, and you have healed me. The poet who writes those words is testifying to the saving love of God. He or she doesn't say how long it took or how it happened, only that it's true. For those of us still waiting in the shadows, then, here's the promise of our own personal Easter. It is true, and it is ahead of us. Some of us know that to be true, and some of us anticipate what we hope God will do. But we certainly don't want God to waste all the time and effort that God has already invested in us. In the winter of 1988-1989, the world almost lost Dave Brubeck. Yeah, that Dave Brubeck, the world-class jazz musician. He was having a series of heart episodes, and under the care of a cardiologist named Lawrence Cohen. Dave kept putting off bypass surgery because of his concert schedule, but the delay wasn't doing him any favors. Finally, Dr. Cohen said, "You are going to Yale New Haven Hospital, and that's it." So the night before the surgery, Dr. Cohen stopped in to see his world-famous patient. It's 10:30 at night. The rest of the hallway is quiet. The cardiologist walks in to discover Brubeck has music manuscript papers strewn all over his bed. He's writing a piece of music because he couldn't sleep. Dr. Cohen said, "What are you doing? It's the night before your surgery." Dave looked up and said, "You're Jewish, aren't you?" "Yes. I'm writing one of your psalms. What can I do, Lord? Can the dust praise thee if you put me in the pit? And joy will come in the morning." Psalm 30. Next day, the surgery went well, and months later, Dave took Dr. Cohen to the premiere of the piece he was working on. It was a large-scale composition for choir and orchestra called Joy Comes in the Morning. And Brubeck dedicated the entire piece to his cardiologist. At one point in the performance, Brubeck began to smirk, and suddenly Dr. Cohen realized why. Dave had created a piece, a baseline, from the transcription of his own irregular heartbeat. And right in the middle of the performance, both of them laughed out loud. Laughter is possible. Do you believe that? Joy can come. Can you trust that? Yes. Our God is an Easter God. And God shall lift our souls from Sheol and turn our mourning into a fresh new day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.